Imagine the possibilities starting with the letters S, L, and P. Imagine a super lavish penthouse. A stimulating little plunge in a serene lap pool. And imagine sailing lovely places with several lively parrots. All because you're some lucky person. Discover your SL and P with Super Lotto Plus from the California Lottery. Now until June 30th, buy five plays, get one free. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to play. Visit calottery.com for official rules.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to In Sickness and in Wealth. I'm Alejandra Cristofulli, and I am an award-winning master business coach, and I'm so excited to be here with you, coming to you live from San Diego, California. It's a beautiful day here, and we are in sickness and in wealth. It's time to really just step forward and ignite your business and also your life, your partnership. And I hope that you can all hear me right now. This is actually my first radio show with you. So I just want to start by saying, you know, it's time to take control of your shared business and your personal life by learning powerful methods specific to entrepreneurial couples. And together, we're going to dive deep into the unique world of partners who share both their business and their private lives and discover key strategies to ensure happiness and success, both personally and professionally. Because, you know, I think you and I both know that being in an intimate relationship and owning a business together, it has its own unique set of challenges, right? It's very different than just being an entrepreneur on your own versus being in it with a partner. And the subject is actually very near and dear to my heart because I am one half of a wildly successful entrepreneurial couple. And not only have I been in my coaching business for over 13 years, but my husband and I actually own 4 organic coffee bars in southern San Diego area. And let me tell you, it has been quite a roller coaster in developing and growing those 4 businesses. When I told my husband that I would rather be alone than be with him and alone, that was totally my wake-up call. It was such a striking moment of like, wait a minute, this is not okay, this is not working, and I would totally just rather be alone than be with him and feeling alone, right? So I knew at that moment that something had to change, and it was really frightening to me because here we had been together for 10 years. You know, we had a child together. We built this life together, but I just knew I couldn't do it anymore. And I know that many of you out there feel that same way and can't yourselves. So I'm happy that you're here and getting to connect, and we're going to just progress through this journey together and taking the step forward towards I want to say changing your relationship, but that may not be the best word here. Just making, igniting it again, like reconnecting to that passion and purpose that you both had at the beginning of coming together before the whole business probably took over your lives. And I'm really excited to show you some simple but yet sophisticated ways to get out of the place that you're in. So, you know, I look at these things that I'm going to be sharing with you today as the most important things that you can do. And they don't really take a lot of time to implement, but they're really going to give you the most impact. I was actually at lunch with a friend, and, you know, I've been coaching for some time now, and this friend is an entrepreneurial couple herself, and we were just, you know, having lunch together, connecting, and she starts sharing with me about this, you know, huge argument that she'd had with her spouse. And being a coach for quite a while before this whole conversation, I've really come to learn that I've got to ask what my friends want me to listen from, because a lot of times, like, they're just telling me to tell me, but I'm always wearing my coach hat. And at first, it became really challenging to differentiate. Like, okay, do you want me to listen as a coach or do you want me to listen as just a friend? So I had to learn the hard way to ask that question. So here she was sharing, you know, this argument that she was in with her husband about the business. It was a business challenge. And I asked her that question. How would you want me to listen? Do you want me to listen as a coach? Or do you just want me to listen as your friend? And she just went off into like, oh, wow, that was so brilliant. Like, had I even thought to ask that question to my husband, we may have never gotten into this huge argument. So it was just a perfect moment for, you know, one, to gain clarity, but for her to get this new tool of like, asking the question, what do you want me to listen to you from? Do you want me to listen as your spouse and as your partner? Or do you want me to listen as your business partner? You know, like, which partner do you really need me to listen from? After we got clarity on that and I supported her because she said, I want you to listen as a coach. So I was able to help her through that. But she's like, listen, there's so many people that suffer from this and there's a ton of business coaches out there. And there's a lot of relationship coaches, but how many of them bring it together? And, you know, her husband was kind of resistant to doing therapy. So it became a perfect match of like, wow, you're right. Therapy doesn't have to be the only answer. And, you know, I'm not downplaying therapy because there's some really great therapy out there. I'm just saying that it's not the only answer. And that you can get support in both your relationship and your business. And anyhow, it just sparked this passion within me that, you know, I am that person and I know that I can help many others just as I did my friend. So, you know, I went from being in one of the darkest parts of my relationship at that point when I, you know, shared, I told my husband, okay, I'd rather be alone than be with you and alone. That was a dark moment. To now being in such a healthy, like, beautiful place. So I really just want to give you the biggest secrets to help you right away. And there's a part of me that's like, ooh, I can't believe I'm actually going to be giving this away. But I thought it would be the perfect start to this radio show and embarking on this journey of, like, really sharing why I got started into this, what's behind it. And then giving you some key tangible tools that you can start to use right away. And we'll be connecting with many other people throughout this journey, interviewing some amazing entrepreneurial couples, talking about their relationships and their business so that you can really get some juicy, like, powerful things for you to impact your life. So, okay, the first thing I really want to give you is something that might throw you completely off. because it goes against what most people think. It goes against what even maybe most counselors or therapists might say, or friends, or any kind of self-help. It does kind of go against this. So this may be a little out there for you, but here you go. The first thing you want to do is not put up boundaries. I'm going to repeat that again. You don't want to put up boundaries. Now I get that, again, sounds crazy because we're taught that you're supposed to put up boundaries. Like, that's a healthy thing to do, right? But here's the thing. We live in this, well, actually, let me share. There's a couple of things as to why I'm saying this. One is that we live in this amazing universe that we have certain universal laws, right? Like an example is the law of gravity. That's a universal law. Well, everything that consists in this universe has energy. There's a law around energy. Everything vibrates at a certain frequency. Now, whether it's a physical thing or a non-physical thing, it all has energy. And there's two forms of energy. There's contractive energy and there's expansive energy. So when it comes to living your fullest life, like up-leveling your life, having the best, most successfulness, and having a healthy, beautiful, passionate, ignited relationship, are you going to want contractive energy, or are you going to want expansive energy? Like, which energy is going to get you to that place? Now, I hope you're saying expansive, because yeah, you want to live in that expansive, energetic place. That's where all those beautiful, wonderful things happen, because you're very open. Whereas contractive energy, it's very limiting. Like, even say the word to yourself for a second. Like, listen to it energetically and tap into your body how it feels when you say the two different words. Contractive. Contractive. Just like even saying the word, my shoulders like concaved in. It got very small and limiting. Whereas if you look at expansive, expansive. Like, yeah, that feels good. My chest opened wide up. I took a breath. Like, expansive energy is where you want to live your life from. It's where you want to run your business from. It's where you want your relationship to be. If a boundary is placed, you're going to be stepping into more contractive energy, because boundaries in themselves mean limiters. You're setting a limitation, which means you're operating more out of that contractive, energetic place. So a boundary isn't where you want to put your relationship into, or have to have all those boundaries that one, because of this energy, would be more contractive. So another reason that boundaries don't really work is because it's a wall that disconnects you from your partner. And I'm going to venture to say here that you don't want more disconnection from your partner. You want more connection with them, right? Like, that's probably what you're longing for. You're laying awake at night thinking about, God, is this relationship going to work or not? Like, do I seriously need to be thinking about leaving this person? And hey, I know that is a dark place to be, but it's the truth, right? If you really look at it, if it's gotten to that point, I was certainly there questioning those things. I wanted more connection with my husband. So if there's a wall in between us, well, again, so those are two main reasons why boundaries don't work. Oh, I just thought of another one. with a wall, what can't come in also can't go out, right? So imagine that for a moment. Like, you want to be able to get things out as well. So for example, if you're feeling really angry, you don't want to hold on to that feeling, that emotion, that, again, that energy around anger, but it's going to be really hard to express it and get it out of you if there's a wall in front of you. Does that make sense? It's too challenging when you've got that boundary and wall placed in front of you to be able to release and express what you need to. So boundaries don't just limit others from quote unquote hurting you, they also limit yourself from being able to express and get rid of whatever it is that you're holding on to, resentment, anger, frustration, punishment, you know, whatever that is. So you might be asking, all right, I get boundaries now. That's not the best place for me to be. But again, like, how do I protect myself? How do I not get hurt? It's a totally valid question. So instead of placing a boundary, here's what you can do. You can make a powerful choice. We have this God-given ability to choose. So why don't you make a choice to let something in or not in, or make a choice as to how you communicate or don't communicate, or make a choice as to whether you allow something to bother you or not bother you. Make a choice to connect or not to connect. I hope you're hearing the difference with this, because let's go to that energy place again. Just saying the word boundary is very contractive, whereas saying the word choice is very expansive. And language is really important. It can be very powerful in itself, the way that we speak to ourselves and the way that we speak to others. So just even in the word choice, you're stepping into a more expansive place. And you're also taking the power back. Because through putting a boundary up, you're kind of saying, like, I'm the victim and I need to protect myself from you because you can hurt me. Versus with choice, you're saying, I'm the one in power and I can choose this or I can choose that. But either way, I'm the one in control. Right? So you just have to learn how to make healthy choices for yourself. I'll share an example with you. You know, when I was really having to look at my relationship and the business that my husband and I were building together. And you guys, there was this point where I actually called the coffee shop the other woman. You know, it's how it felt to me at that time. And that's why I was so angry and resentful and just like, oh, yeah, not a fun place to be. So I totally spoke about the business that way. I related to it that way. Like, my whole perception was, oh, the other woman. Oh, you're staying late with the other woman. You know, it was like I was just punishing my poor husband at the time. So a part of shifting my perspective and choosing powerfully, I made the choice to stop calling it that. I had to. Because otherwise, you know, I would not still be married at this point. And most likely, our businesses wouldn't be as successful as they are right now. So I had to make that choice, and it gave me the power back. I no longer put that energy towards hating him for putting so much into the business. So there's an example of how you can make a choice. Now let's move on to the second thing. Here's the next thing that you want to really look at putting into your relationship. And by the way, like, not just your intimate relationship, these things go for any kind of relationship, whether it's friends, family, coworkers. Like, these tools will impact every relationship in your life, not just your intimate one. Okay. Second thing I want to share with you is, having pivotal agreements in place. Having pivotal agreements in place. So pivotal agreements are those like non-negotiable things for you. It's like the no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, this is non-negotiable. And here's the thing. You're both going to have these non-negotiable things that maybe you don't even know you have. Another way you could look at this is expectations. You know, and I think on some level or another, we all know that having expectations isn't the healthiest thing for us. You know, we tend to get really disappointed when it comes to setting expectations because most of the time, people can't fulfill those, especially if, one, they don't even know what our expectations are of them, and two, like, one person's level of fulfilling an expectation is going to be very different than the other person's level. Back when I was managing a lot before I became a coach, I was in many leadership roles, and I had to learn. Actually, a mentor told me this. Only expect 80% from people because your 100% is not somebody else's 100%. And that was like a turning point for me because I was so extremely frustrated with my team and felt like I was such a babysitter, right? So having that, just lowering that expectation to 80%, things worked out a lot better. So if we come back to these pivotal agreements, they're similar because they're those non-negotiable things, but there are things that doesn't have the same expectation that expectations do. And they're much easier to both agree upon versus, you know, an expectation is harder to get agreement from both people. Because if this is a non-negotiable for you, like, your partner's going to have to agree to that, right? And vice versa. They're going to have a pivotal agreement that is going to be non-negotiable to them. Now, if you don't agree upon what the other person's agreement is, then you can use your choice. You can choose to either agree or not agree. If you don't agree, then you want to renegotiate. You know, it can be a negotiation at that point, even though I'm saying it's non-negotiable. If you've hit a wall of sorts, then you have to get to a negotiable place because otherwise, of course, it's not going to work. Some examples of these pivotal agreements, they're simple ones. Like most people know, you know, don't go to bed angry. That's an example of a pivotal agreement. Like if we're angry with each other, we don't go to bed that way. And we have conversation or communicate about whatever is making us angry. You know, another one that's a pretty normal standard example of a pivotal agreement is agreeing to disagree. You know, that's a really good one too. There's going to be moments where you both don't agree upon something. If you have these pivotal agreements in place, you're going to save yourself a whole lot of heartache for both, I was going to say in the bedroom, which it can be too, at home, in the bedroom, wherever you're at, but also in your business. Because it can be one of those moments that if you both know that your agreement is to agree to disagree on things, maybe your partner approaches you with something and they say like, okay, I think we need to do X, Y, Z to grow the business and get our bottom line profitable. And you're like, no, I think we should do NWX. And they don't match. You can agree to disagree and you can draw upon that pivotal agreement to say, hey, I'm going to pull out my pivotal agreement to disagree with you. And are you okay with that? Yes, beautiful. Rather than just going about it, operating out of being pissed at each other because you're not coming to some kind of an agreement. Another one that's really important, especially in business with your partner, is to celebrate each other's ideas. Oftentimes, we don't listen to each other. And let me tell you, as human beings, it is our innate desire to feel heard, valued, and respected. And if we don't feel heard, valued, or respected, then forget it. We're just going to go into, you know, full-on kind of rage mode or passive mode. And at that point, nothing ever gets done or resolved. And it's really hard to have successful anything at that point. You may not always think that your partner has the best ideas. And that's okay. It goes back to you can agree to disagree. However, if you jump into disagreeing with someone right away, you're basically telling them, I don't hear you. I don't respect you, and I don't value you. So if my husband were to say, hey, I have this fabulous idea to do X thing, I would love, you know, if you were a part of it. And if I immediately go into, no, I don't think that's the best thing. What you should do is blah, blah, blah. What he's hearing is, okay, I wasn't heard, I wasn't valued, I wasn't respected, and my idea is wrong. You're basically telling that person that they're wrong and you're right. And listen, again, nobody wants to hear that. We all want to be right. Nobody ever wants to feel wrong. So rather than jumping into, no, that's not going to work, or here's a better idea, acknowledge them first. Celebrate that idea by acknowledging your partner first. Saying something as simple as like, oh, wow, that's actually a great idea. Oh, cool. I like what you came up with. Or, wow, that sounds really neat. Then you can start to insert maybe a better idea or something that you think might work even better from what they're suggesting. But when you celebrate the idea first, and that's one of your pivotal agreements, everyone's going to feel more heard, valued, and respected. And things will get accomplished that much better. All right. Ooh, this is good stuff. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I'm enjoying sharing it with you. Because these three things I'm sharing with you today are truly the things that allowed me to get out of my own way and stop punishing my poor husband. Otherwise, our relationship would have totally broken and, you know, one, again, wouldn't be as successful as we are in business and most likely not together because I'm so done at that point. All right, let's talk about this third thing. This is one of my favorites because it's so juicy and you may have heard this before, but probably not in this type of scenario. So here it is. The third thing you don't want to do is get stuck in the drama triangle. And the drama triangle is playing a victim, a villain, or a hero. So as children, we all take on certain roles in life as a way to actually protect ourselves. Like there are certain things that are happening throughout your life that leave you not feeling good at all. And if you don't know how to handle or cope with those situations in a healthy way, you're going to observe and learn from others how they're handling and coping with hardships, traumas, you know, things that just don't feel good in life. And most likely you're learning something, behaviors or habits or beliefs that aren't really healthy because they never learned how to deal with them. And the people that they learned from didn't know either. So it's just like passed down generationally again, again, and again, and again. So all those behaviors, no matter what kind of behaviors, habits, beliefs they are, they fall into one of these three roles, which again is the victim, the villain, or the hero. And within these three roles, again, we use them as a way to cope or protect ourselves. So whenever there is some kind of conflict or drama occurring in life, most likely you are going to unconsciously revert to what you know will help protect you or make you feel safe and secure again. And those things will be either this victim, villain, or hero role. Like whenever you're in that, you tend to feel more safe, more secure, more protected. So when there's conflict or drama happening in life, you're going to immediately revert to that place. So imagine if there's conflict between you and your partner at home or at work, you're going to be operating out of that role. And I call it a drama triangle because it's the drama and the conflict that actually trigger us as human beings to step into those roles. So notice I said don't get stuck in the drama triangle. It's challenging to not get into the triangle to begin with. There are ways to completely avoid it, for sure. But that takes work. And it takes you really looking within yourself and healing all those things within you that have caused you to go to that role in the first place. So I'm not saying it's not possible. It's just a longer journey to get there. What you can do a lot more easily is not get stuck in that drama triangle, not get stuck in being a victim, a villain, or a hero, okay? So in order to not get stuck, one thing is that you have to know what role you actually play. You know, are you more of the victim? Are you more of the villain or of the hero? So let me just give you a quick definition of each one of these, because that'll help you to define which one is the one that you tend to revert to most when there's some kind of conflict going on. A victim is an unfortunate person who suffers from some adverse circumstance. With the victim role comes a belief in their innocence as well as feeling of powerlessness. A victim withdraws or freezes like a deer caught in headlights. Oftentimes, they wait for something to change or for someone to rescue them. And although some people suffer in silence, they often express their powerlessness by complaining about the situation and blaming the person that they see responsible. So the main parts around the victim is they tend to complain and blame. And they're expressing that through their powerlessness. Like, you know, you have no control over what happens in your business. You have no control over how your spouse or your partner is reacting to you or what they're doing. Like, if that's where you tend to go, then most likely you fall under the victim role. The benefits to a victim is that they automatically get to gain self-worth and they can play on other people's pity and guilt. And they're also not responsible for their realities. All right, that's the victim. The villain, I just love this definition, and it probably makes me laugh because this is my what I call dominating role. It's the one I fall into. So, yep, I'm the villain. All right. A villain is an evil or wicked person who deliberately causes harm. Yeah, there you go. That's an awesome definition. Evil or wicked person who deliberately causes harm. Villains tend to manipulate, control, or deprive. And they also feel selfish, fearful, and a need to control. So villains will attack and take what they want without the concern for the impact on others. That there's not that conscious concern for the impact on others. And those tactics are used to control. So here's the thing. When we experience someone controlling us, we will quickly cast them as the villain in our stories. So it doesn't matter whether the other person is actually more of a villain role or not. Like if we feel someone controlling us in any way whatsoever, you're going to automatically put them in that villain role and hence you the victim. So if you can take a second here, like think about your last argument with your partner. And can you see that whatever was happening, if you felt like they were controlling you, oh yeah, you put them in that villain role. And listen, no one likes to feel victimized. Even if you are a victim role, typically, you don't like to be the victim. No one likes to feel that. So we're always going to cast the other person in the villain. And you know what that does? It actually causes more conflict, more drama. This happens all the time. Like, think about where you see these roles. They're in entertainment everywhere. Movies, TV shows, books, Broadway, you know, like everything that has to do with entertainment has these three roles. And the reason for that, entertainment industry is really smart. Like, they know that in order to capture us, they need to have some kind of drama going on. And there's not going to be any drama going on without people in these roles. And they also know that we will relate to one of those roles more than the other. So we're going to have some like relatedness and totally bought into whatever it is we're watching. So this is like everywhere. It all comes down to this. And I'm really just giving you like the basics of it. There's so much more to go into with these roles and how to not get stuck in that whole drama triangle. I'm just giving you like that little piece to recognize which one is your role to help you get out of being in that drama triangle. But listen, I teach a full 3-day workshop on just these roles. So there's a lot to this. The hero role is a distinguished courage or ability admired for their brave deeds and noble qualities. They're all about courage, action, selflessness, and nobility. So compared to the other two roles, the hero can probably sound awesome. But here's the thing. With the hero role, it's actually one of the hardest to have. Because they feel the need to take on everyone's problems and make things okay for everyone. And the only thing that does is ends up putting themselves last, never really taking responsibility for themselves because they're so busy trying to save everybody else. So it's actually one of the harder roles, even though it sounds definition-wise better. That's not the role you want to be in. I mean, none of them are the roles that you want to be in, but the hero has the harder time because it like needs to keep saving people. All right, so I hope you were able to see which role is more dominating for you. And having the awareness is always the first step to any kind of transformation. Any kind of getting unstuck takes you being clear on what's going on, right? So ownership is important to moving forward, healing, transforming, creating the life you want, like whatever you want to call it. Having that awareness and owning whatever it is, in this case, it's the role, is going to take you to a breakthrough. So I hope you're not looking at this as like, oh, God, that sucks. But, you know, I hear you. And if you do, you're going to get out of wherever you're at much quicker. It's interesting. One of my clients eloquently put this. She was saying that being in her role is actually a form of manipulation. Like when she's trying to get something out of her husband or trying to, you know, work with him in a certain way, that she tends to fall into the role and sees that she's actually manipulating it, trying to get what it is that she wants rather than finding a solution. So a role is not going to help you in any way whatsoever. And that's why you don't want to get stuck in a drama triangle. All right, there you go. Those are the top three things that can give you the most impact. And hopefully I gave you some just simple key things to help you get started on your way to having a more effective relationship that isn't carrying any kind of resentment or anger towards your partner. And there are some more specific things that we'll be getting into, as I mentioned, like we're going to be interviewing a lot of couples who are both in business together and also obviously having a relationship together. It was such an honor to be here. I'm really excited. This is so much fun, and I can't wait to join you again. Make sure that you tune in 2 weeks. At 11:30, I will be here with you in sickness and in wealth. Bye for now.
Imagine the possibilities starting with the letters S, L, and P. Imagine a super lavish penthouse. A stimulating little plunge in a serene lap pool. And imagine sailing lovely places with several lively parrots. All because you're some lucky person. Discover your S, L, and P with Super Lotto Plus from the California Lottery. Now until June 30th, buy 5 plays, get one free. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to play. Visit calottery.com for official rules. Imagine the possibilities starting with the letters S, L, and P. Imagine a super lavish penthouse. A stimulating little plunge in a serene lap pool. And imagine sailing lovely places with several lively parrots. All because you're some lucky person. Discover your S, L, and P with Super Lotto Plus from the California Lottery. Now until June 30th, buy 5 plays, get one free. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to play. Visit calottery.com for official rules.